Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning, I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and Republican leaders in the legislature have a deal on shared revenue bill and the state budget. Civic Media's Pete Schwabe reports.
Evers and the Republicans have been hammering out a deal since Monday. It would put the fate of proposed sales tax increases in the hands of the Milwaukee City Council and the Milwaukee County Board, instead of putting it to a referendum. It's part of a bill that would increase state support to local communities by 20% statewide. It also includes more than $1 billion for public education and $30 million in mental health services in schools. Those are things Evers wanted. In exchange, the Democratic governor is agreeing to support getting rid of the personal property tax and to an increase in money for school choice vouchers. Those have been Republican priorities for years. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
In a statement, Governor Evers calls the deal transformative for communities and the state and a significant milestone for bipartisanship. Speaker Voss described the process as a give and take.
I think there is some heartburn in our caucus about getting rid of the referendum, but I think at the end of the day, when you balance the entire deal with the historic investment in school choice, making sure that we don't have any kind of DEI being funded around the state, I think there are enough conservative wins that while I would have preferred the referendum to be in there, I think it's a reasonable trade-off, and I think we'll end up getting the votes.
A former candidate for governor and a prominent political organizer are going to court in Waukesha over disputes of unpaid bills. Terry Bell reports.
Last month, Bob Dinal, the publisher of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, brought a complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission alleging former Republican candidate for Wisconsin Governor Tim Michaels verbally agreed to pay Dinal $100,000 for organizing political events he hosted. 3 weeks later, Michaels sued Dinal in Waukesha County Court. Michaels' lawyer says the campaign never hired Dinal. Gary Bell, Civic Media News.
During his weekly radio address this week, Governor Evers stated why he believes it's important to raise the pride flag over the Wisconsin Capitol during the month of June.
For all those who've only ever wanted to be and belong, who've had to find their own family, and who've never known home, you belong here, you are family here, and you are welcome home here. You have my word that I'll always stand with you, including our trans and gender nonconforming kids, and we'll fight to protect LGBTQ Wisconsinites with every tool and every power I have. Happy Pride, Wisconsin. Thank you.
The 51st Summer Games of the Special Olympics Wisconsin kicked off with the opening ceremonies in Whitewater last night, and that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. A man accused of stabbing his mother in the neck in Barron County is charged with attempted homicide, according to online court records. 30-year-old Michael Townsend is being held on a $50,000 cash bond at the Barron County Jail after the Barron County Sheriff's Department said he stabbed his 54-year-old mother in the back of the neck after an argument over money. The woman was flown to a hospital in Eau Claire. The state high school softball championships continue today in Madison at Goodman Diamond. Yesterday, undefeated Superior defeated Menominee Falls 6-5, and they'll take on Sun Prairie East later tonight in a Division I semifinal. Grantsburg, the defending Division IV champion, lost in a heartbreaker to Iola Scandinavia 5-3, and they finished 26-4 on the year. In Division 5, a big rally in the seventh inning, Stevens Point Pacelli used a 5-run seventh to walk off McDonald 8-7 and advance to the title game. The championship games will be played tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers with a big win over Baltimore. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with a dominating 10-2 victory over the Orioles last night at American Family Field. Willie Adames got things started in the bottom of the first. Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports.
And he sends Allen to the field. He's watching this one fly. And Adames, welcome back to the lineup. A solo home run in the first inning.
It was Willie's first game back after being hit in the temple by a hard foul ball while in the dugout May 26th.
Sometimes, you know, this game will hit you, you know, I mean, after I got hit like that, you know. I felt like that was like my first game this season, you know, like I was so full of energy, you know, I was just having so much fun, and I think everybody was having fun.
Joey Weimer with two home runs and all 16 hits for the crew. Craig Counsell joked after the win.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. We went and I went and hit everybody in the face with a baseball after that. And
Corbin Burns was brilliant on the mound. 8 scoreless innings on 96 pitches, striking out 9. I asked him, what was the key?
Just getting ahead in the count, attacking with a cutter. Curveball and changeup was kind of hit and miss all night. So had those been on point, that would have been even more fun.
So the Brewers go for the sweep this afternoon. A 1-10 start, Kyle Bradish against Milwaukee's Colin Ray. And there's doubleheaders scheduled today in New York and Philadelphia after the Yankees and the Phillies had to call off their games due to smoke from those Canadian wildfires. NFL, the Packers wrapping up OTAs this week. Next week is the mandatory minicamp. In the NBA Finals, the Nuggets with a 109-94 win in Miami last night to go up 2-1. And the Bucks' new head coach, Adrian Griffin, got to meet some of his new players, including Marjan Beauchamp, who says he's now off to see Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm actually taking off to Greece tomorrow, so I'm supposed to meet him.
In Greece?
Yep.
What are you guys going to do while you're over there?
Train to go, and we're going to get ready for next season.
That's the Bucks' Marjan Beauchamp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin. Yes, it is a Friday morning now. Friday, the 9th of June, and welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, and there is so much stuff going on today. I don't know how we're gonna pack it all into a 2-hour show, but we're gonna give it our best try. First, taking a look outside today, got some clouds moving through western Wisconsin today. We'll have highs getting back up into the low 80s. And also in sports, the Brewers lost to the Orioles yesterday 6-3 after winning the first 2 games of the series. And the Crew are now 34-29, still 1 game ahead of the Pirates in the Central Division. The Brewers welcome the Oakland A's to town tonight for the first game of a 3-game series against the A's. And I know baseball fans in the audience might be saying, the Oakland A's, haven't they only won like 14 games all year? Well, yeah, I think that's about right. But they have won their last 2 games. So they might be coming around, probably just in time to come to Milwaukee, right? You probably heard some of the news that's going on in the last 24 hours or so, or at least since last night. The former President Donald Trump has been indicted again. And by the way, if you're not familiar with the word indicted and you don't know what it means charged with crimes. That's right. Once again, charged with crimes, this time for allegedly mishandling classified documents. Also in the headlines today, Governor Evers has reached a revenue sharing deal with Republican leaders in Madison that will prevent Milwaukee from falling off a fiscal cliff. Former Republican candidate for governor Tim Michaels is suing a Republican activist alleging libel and defamation. It says here 43 Wisconsin congregations are set to leave the United Methodist Church, and mainly over LGBT issues. Also in the headlines today, Republican lawmakers in Madison yesterday introduced legislation that would require instructors to teach phonics to become licensed to teach English language arts. And Wisconsin's Republican-led budget committee has decided to withhold funding for the state's Office of School Safety that was started after 17 students and staff were killed in Parkland, Florida. And Wisconsin's Democratic Party is meeting in Green Bay this weekend for their annual convention. Talk about a party. And before we get to some of these headlines and other news going on today, let's take a look back at this date in history.
It was in 1973 on this date, June 9th, that Secretariat won the Triple Crown in horse racing. In 1934, on this date, it was the first appearance of Donald Duck in a cartoon, 1934. And then in 1924, on this date, Jelly Roll Blues was recorded by Jelly Roll Morton. Yep, that was, what, 99 years ago today? And it became a big hit, too. Still performed by some artists to this day. And birthdays today. Got a couple of important birthdays. In 1891, songwriter Cole Porter was born. And in 1915, on this date, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Les Paul was born. And Les Paul, of course, well known as a guitarist and songwriter, but also as an inventor, credited with the invention of the solid body electric guitar and multi-track recording, among other things. I think they credit him with inventing the idea of reverb, or at least a way to get reverb on your guitar, and other things too.
Yeah, I know he also invented the neck-mounted harmonica holder, so you can play the harmonica while you're playing the guitar.
Is that right?
Yep, and it's essentially his design that's still used today. I mean, it's pretty simple. He was just the first one to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that. I want to find out more about that, because I've always heard that Bob Dylan had something to do with that. Maybe he just took Les Paul's invention and perfected it a little bit, or improved on it, or changed it in some way. But maybe someday we'll devote a whole show to the history of the neck mounted harmonica holder. No, listeners, I'm just kidding. But that is interesting, especially for those who play guitar and try to play the harmonica at the same time. And by the way, for those of you that aren't familiar, I just wanted to mention that voice you heard come in is our producer, Aaron. Aaron, how are you doing today, by the way?
Doing pretty well. It's a nice morning here in Madison.
Yeah, cool. It's a nice morning in Madison. Yeah, that's good. So how are you feeling about our first week on the air with the Stu Daniels Show? Seems to have gone okay so far, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it's nice to be able to play a bit longer cuts of music.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'm having fun with it. It's a unique format of radio. Usually radio does one thing or the other. It's either a music radio station or a talk radio station. And of course, we are talk radio for the most part. But during this show, at least, and sometimes on the weekends, too, you might hear a lot more music than at other times. So we'll have some fun with that. And by the way, if you want to join in on the show, feel free to call in. This is an audience participation radio show. The phone number here is 715-388-715-5, and you can call in and get on the radio show. Of course, the thing that everyone is talking about today is the fact that Donald Trump was indicted. He's expected to surrender on Tuesday after indictment in the documents case. This is from the New York Times I'm looking at here. It says the former president, the first to face federal charges, responded with defiance on his social media platform, declaring, quote, "I'm an innocent man." Are you surprised that he would say that? Well, here's the latest from the New York Times. It says, Washington awoke on Friday to a reshaped political and legal landscape after the Justice Department lodged federal criminal charges against former President Donald J. Trump, accusing him of mishandling classified documents he kept upon leaving office and then obstructing the government's efforts to reclaim them. Trump confirmed on his social media platform that he had been indicted. The charges against him include willfully retaining, willfully retaining national defense secrets in violation of the Espionage Act, making false statements, and a conspiracy to obstruct justice, according to two people familiar with the matter. The Justice Department made no comment and did not immediately make the indictment public. Trump is expected to surrender to the authorities on Tuesday. according to a person close to him, and his own post on his social media platform called Truth Social. The indictment, handed up by a grand jury in the federal district court in Miami, is the first time a former president has faced federal charges. It puts the nation in an extraordinary position, given Trump's status not only as a one-time commander-in-chief, but also as the current frontrunner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination to face President Biden, whose administration will now be seeking to convict his potential rival of multiple felonies. So what do you think Trump has to say about this? Quote, "The corrupt Biden administration has informed my attorneys that I have been indicted," Trump wrote in one of several posts on Truth Social after he was notified of the charges on Thursday evening. He added that he was scheduled to be arraigned at 3 p.m. Tuesday in federal court in Miami. In a video, he declared, quote, "I am an innocent man. I'm an innocent person," end quote. The indictment filed by the Office of the Special Counsel Jack Smith came about 2 months after local prosecutors in New York filed more than 30 felony charges against Mr. Trump in connection with a hush money payment to a porn star before the 2016 election. After we take a quick break, we'll come back and go over what we know so far in this story. Going to get to a bunch of other stuff too today, but right now that seems to be the important story in the news. Going to take a quick break and play some music, and we'll be right back. I think we've got the Les Paul song queued up. Is that right? Let's hit it.
Yep. How high the moon.
All right.
Fashion is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little officialer? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your brandy old fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then too with their brandy old fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
When When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old, same old. Spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this. Corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty. A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's emmanuelsmix.com. And get snacking.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
The old weekend's off to a pretty nice start here today. Partly cloudy, up to 83 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms are possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high of 81. Sunday will be nice. Partly cloudy, cooler, and a lot less humid with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Recorded 99 years ago today, and still stands the test of time. I've heard bands play that song not that long ago, blues bands, etc. But 99 years can go by in the blink of an eye if you're not paying attention. Hey, welcome back to the big program, everybody. It's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock now on a Friday morning. Stu Daniels here. Hope you're having a good day, and thank you for tuning into your local Civic Media radio station. We have a lot going on today. We're talking about the biggest news, the big national news, or maybe even international news. I'm sure they're talking about this all over the world today. Former President Donald Trump indicted on these document charges for holding on to documents at Mar-a-Lago that he took, and then even after being asked to get them back, he said he had rights to keep them because they're now unclassified, because in his brain he determined that they were unclassified. And what else do we know so far? According to the New York Times, it says a federal grand jury has charged Trump with a total of 7 counts, according to 2 people familiar with the indictment. The precise details of the charges are not yet clear. The indictment reaches back to the end of Trump's term in January of 2021, when the documents, many of which were said to be in the White House residence, were packed in boxes along with clothes, gifts, photographs and other material, and then shipped by the General Services Administration to his private club and residence in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. And also it says here, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, Trump's main rival for the Republican presidential nomination, responded to the indictment by saying that, quote, the weaponization of federal law enforcement represents a mortal threat to a free society. In other words, he thinks this is some kind of a ploy by the Biden administration to go after Biden's opponent. But in a Twitter post, DeSantis seemed to question why Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden, the president's son, had not faced charges. But DeSantis stopped short of saying he would pardon Trump if elected, instead promising that he would, quote, bring accountability to the Justice Department. Trump remains under investigation by the federal counsel's office for his wide-ranging efforts to retain power after his election loss in 2020 and how those efforts led to the January 6th assault on the Capitol by a pro-Trump mob. He's also being scrutinized for potential election interference by the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia. So we might come to know this as the summer of indictments. And so have you heard about how Trump found out about this? He was evidently at his club in Bedminster, New Jersey, and got a phone call. It says here that former President Donald Trump was gathered with his core political advisors in the office near his poolside cottage at his club in Bedminster, New Jersey, when his phone rang around 7 p.m. last evening, Thursday. On the line, according to two people with knowledge of the call, was one of his lawyers informing him he had been indicted for the second time in less than 3 months. Unlike the first indictment in a state court in Manhattan related to allegations he had paid hush money to a porn star during the 2016 election, the current charges are federal charges and stem from his conduct just before leaving office and for roughly 18 months after. So what do you think is going to happen? Listener, what do you think is going to happen to Trump? Is he going to go to jail for this? Will he be wearing an ankle bracelet while he's running for president again? Interesting to see what's going to happen. If you have any thoughts on this, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'd like to hear what you have to say. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station. The world is waiting for the sun rising. My heart is calling you.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump is responding to his indictment in the classified documents case.
I'm an innocent man. We will prove that again.
Mr. Trump posted that statement on his Truth social media platform. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has some details on the indictment.
The sealed 7-count indictment is the culmination of a year-long Justice Department probe into Trump's handling of secret documents. The FBI said it pulled 100 documents with classified markings out of Mar-a-Lago last August after Trump attorneys said he had no such documents in his possession.
The former president is expected to appear next week in Miami federal court. So what happens between now and then?
A law enforcement source tells CBS News that later today, the U.S. Secret Service and Trump staff will meet to develop a threat assessment and security plan for Tuesday's arraignment in Miami.
CBS's Catherine Herridge. This is the first time a former president has been indicted by a federal grand jury. CBS News Special Report. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local
flavor. I'm Jimmy
Cuska.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. An Eau Claire man is charged after allegedly hitting a teenager with a gun. 40-year-old Dennis Peterson was charged with 5 felonies and 2 misdemeanors, all with the use of a dangerous weapon, after firing a handgun during an argument with a group of teenagers, according to online court records, and a release from the Eau Claire Police Department. A 17-year-old boy needed stitches after being hit by the gun, but no one else was hurt. Peterson's next court appearance is in July. A man accused of stabbing his mother in the neck in Barron County is charged with attempted homicide, according to online court records. 30-year-old Michael Townsend is being held on a $50,000 cash bond at the Barron County Jail after the Barron County Sheriff's Department said he stabbed his 54-year-old mother in the neck after an argument over money. The woman was flown to a hospital in Eau Claire. And in the state softball championships, in their semifinal games, both Grantsburg and McDonald fell in heartbreakers yesterday. Their seasons have concluded. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then, too, with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old, spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this, corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty. A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's emmanuelsmix.com. And get snacking.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap, 93.5. The Tap, 93.5. The Tap, The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles...
Give me a shot, I'll blow your fuse.
10,000 watts.
I'm talking about some blues for you on a Friday morning. 10,000 watts. I wish I had 10,000 watts. I'd blast this baby all the way to New Jersey. It's the Altered Five Blues Band. And that band, by the way, is just so happens to be from Milwaukee. But that's a song that you'll hear on a lot of the blues radio stations or streaming stations or wherever you get your blues from. Kind of a hit for those guys. So it's a Friday morning and we are discussing the big indictment charges filed against the former president. Again, this time federal charges. And it's kind of ironic that this is happening over documents, holding on to documents, because you remember it wasn't that long ago that the former president was attacking Hillary Clinton when they were running against each other in 2016, saying that she mishandled sensitive information. This story here from the New York Times by Peter Baker, and the headline says, Trump assailed Hillary Clinton for her handling of sensitive information. That issue now threatens his 2024 campaign. And it starts like this. It says, there was a time, not that long ago, really, when Donald Trump said he cared about the sanctity of classified information. That, of course, was when his opponent was accused of jeopardizing it, and it was a useful political weapon for Trump. And throughout 2016, he castigated Hillary Clinton for using a private email server instead of a secure government one. Quote, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information, he declared. No one will be above the law. Mrs. Clinton's cavalier handling of the sensitive information, he said, quote, disqualifies her from the presidency. 7 years later, Trump faces criminal charges for endangering national security by taking classified documents when he left the White House and refusing to return all of them, even after being subpoenaed. Even in the what goes around comes around department of American politics, it is rather remarkable that the issue that helped propel Trump to the White House in the first place now threatens to ruin his chances of getting back there. The indictment handed up by a federal grand jury at the request of the special counsel Jack Smith effectively brings the Trump story full circle. You remember what they used to shout at the big rallies that Trump would hold? Lock her up. Lock her up. That's what the crowds at his campaign rallies chanted with his encouragement. Now he may be the one locked up if convicted on any of the seven reported counts that include conspiracy to obstruct justice and willful retention of documents. The indictment is the second brought against a former president in recent months, but in many ways it eclipses the first in terms of both legal gravity and political peril. The first indictment, announced in March by the Manhattan District Attorney, charged Trump with falsifying business records to cover up hush money to an adult film actress who alleged that they had a sexual tryst. The second indictment is brought by a federal prosecutor representing the nation as a whole, the first in American history against a former president, and concerns the nation's secrets. While Trump's defenders have tried to brush off the first as the work of a local elected Democrat concerning issues that, however unseemly, seem relatively petty and happened before he took office, The latest charges stem directly from his responsibility as the nation's commander-in-chief to safeguard data that could be useful to America's enemies. So that's the latest from Peter Baker of the New York Times. There's also a piece here from Shane Goldmacher, and he's wondering how the opponents of Trump in the Republican primary are reacting, and how are they going to defend Donald Trump? This piece by Goldmacher has a headline that says, "For Republican rivals, an unhappy task. Defend the man dominating them in the polls." In the topsy-turvy world of 2024 Republican politics, rivals of Donald Trump had been bracing for weeks for his second indictment with more dread than any sense of opportunity. After years of successive scandals, the immediate instincts of so many Republican voters are thoroughly ingrained. They snap to Trump's defense, no matter how outrageous the charges are or who is making them. Democrats, the news media, local prosecutors, or now federal ones. Donations surged after Trump's first indictment in Manhattan, and he consolidated support in the polls. So when Trump gets indicted, his supporters throw him money because he's a billionaire and he needs more money. It all makes sense, right? Even prominent Republicans eager for the party to cast aside Trump in 2024 were concerned ahead of the indictment. They have long been exasperated by the immunity of Trump's base to almost any attack or argument, swarming to neutralize any perceived political threat almost by habit. Quote, "There is a lot of folks who just don't buy any of it." Chris Sununu, the Republican governor of New Hampshire, who announced this week that he would not run for president in 2024, said in a recent interview, quote, "Democrats are like the boy who cried wolf. Oh, no, no, but this is real," end quote. He added, it's created a situation where a lot of Republican voters intuitively dismiss any criticism at the former president. And let me ask you, do you know people like that? Do you know people who, no matter what happens to Trump and no matter what he's charged with, they say, oh, it's all some kind of conspiracy. It's Joe Biden trying to eliminate his strongest opponent. I know people like that, and it's hard to understand how they get to that conclusion. But anyway, this piece from The Times goes on and says, on Thursday evening, last night, Trump's rivals immediately faced the uncomfortable choice of joining the chorus of conservatives who quickly rallied behind Trump or looking like they weren't on Team GOP at a moment of heightened tribal politics. Those who did speak came mostly to the defense of the candidate dominating them in the polls. For instance, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida said the weaponization of federal law enforcement represents a mortal threat to a free society. Yeah, what about Trump? Does he represent a mortal threat? And then and it says here that DeSantis did not explicitly defend Trump, even after saying those words. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina also decried the weaponization of the Department of Justice in an interview on Fox News that had been scheduled before the indictment. He said, "You don't have to be a Republican to see injustice." And Vivek Ramaswamy, an entrepreneur running a hardline but long shot candidacy, went further, pledging, "I commit to pardon Trump promptly on January 20th, 2025, as if he was going to have the opportunity to do that. The exception was Asa Hutchinson, the former Arkansas governor, clinging to the margins of the race as a bastion of old guard Republicanism. He called for Trump to end his campaign. Most Republicans, conservative commenters, and Trump allies ratcheted up pressure immediately to close ranks behind a former president facing charges that emanated from a special counsel appointed by a Justice Department that reports to President Biden. Here's a headline. It says, "Peak Witch Hunt," blared the banner headline on Breitbart. And a pro-Trump super PAC circulated supportive statements from more than 50 elected officials and conservative figures within 4 hours of Trump's announcing his own indictment. Quote, "This will only cause a firestorm of support." Steve Bannon, the former Trump strategist who hosts the streaming War Room program that is popular with the party's right-wing base, wrote in a text message. He said, "Rivals would be wise to heave to," end quote. Trump raised $4 million in the first 24 hours after his last indictment. You think he's going to be able to do that again? His campaign sent out its first emailed plea for cash less than 30 minutes after publicizing this one. So Trump himself went on his social media platform, announced that he had been indicted now. So he was the first one to let that news out. In less than 30 minutes after announcing that, he, in fact, started sending out pleas for cash. Send me some money. Send me some money. In fact, I'm on Trump's email list, and I got one of those messages. It was, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, right? I wasn't surprised when I saw it, but it's still a strange thing. You know, it seems like the more trouble he gets in, the more he's going to ask you for cash if you are a supporter. It's 8:45 right now. We're going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, located at 520 State Street in Madison. Order online today at knuckleheads.shop. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The old weekend's off to a pretty nice start here today. Partly cloudy, up to 83 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms are possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high of 81. Sunday will be nice. Partly cloudy, cooler, and a lot less humid with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
When the morning glory, wake up in the morning. Well, in the morning, kiss your lips goodnight. At the break of dawn, I can hear you moaning.
Like Big Joe Turner on the radio. Man, when was the last time you heard him on a radio station? Morning glories from Big Joe Turner on a Friday morning. Stu Daniels with you. Hope you're having a good day so far. At 8:52 right now. So many things going on. If you have any comments on what we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. We've been discussing the big indictment. Yeah, Donald Trump indicted again, this time on federal charges. And it's interesting to watch the reaction from the right. What do you think they do? Now, of course, we know that Trump was just indicted back in March for giving hush money to a porn star. Now he's indicted again, this time for holding on to classified information, secret documents that belong to us, the United States, not to him, the former president. And so what do his Republicans say about him? Even the ones who are running against him in the primary, do they say, well, it's time for him to drop out of the race? Well, one of the candidates said that, but the rest of them are all rallying around the guy. They would rather rally around him and support him than speak the truth. It says here in this piece from the New York Times that I was going over just before the break that there are longer-term questions about the political fallout from the indictment, which adds yet another piece of baggage for a now twice-impeached and twice-indicted former president. Then there is the issue of actual legal jeopardy. The specific charges include willfully retaining national defense secrets in violation of the Espionage Act, making false statements, and a conspiracy to obstruct justice. Yet, on Fox News, the cable channel that serves as the information circulatory system for millions of Republican primary voters, the coverage on Thursday was almost universally aghast at the 7 federal counts Trump is facing, even if the details have not been made public yet. So they don't even know what he's being charged with yet for sure, but they're going off on this possibility of Trump facing these charges. What about Mark Levin? I actually happened to tune in last night for a couple of minutes to Fox just to see what they were saying. Mark Levin was shouting so loud and so in such a crazy manner, I couldn't even listen. I was in my car and I turned Fox News on, the Sirius XM. I could only listen for about a minute and a half. It was too much. It was too much for my ears and my brain to handle. But according to this piece from the New York Times, it says the host, Mark Levin, called June 8th the day of insurrection, not January 6th. In other words, June 8th, Tuesday, is when Trump has to report to court down in Miami. And this story goes on and says breaking news banners and repeated segments trumpeted Democratic apostasies and scandals from Hillary Clinton to President Biden that did not result in prosecution. Pete Hegseth, the Fox News host, goaded Trump's 2024 rivals to travel in solidarity to Florida, where Trump said he had been summoned to a federal courthouse next week. Quote, this is Hegseth saying, every single Republican nominee should be down in Miami on Tuesday night, standing behind, standing for justice in the country, saying, I may be running for president, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, whoever, Ron DeSantis, but this is injustice. Mr. Hegseth added, I don't think they have a chance now, considering what Trump is up against. Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina, a Republican who at times has been an outspoken critic of Trump's, sounded a familiar note on the same network. She said, I do believe tonight that Joe Biden just secured Donald Trump's nomination for Republicans in 2024. As if Joe Biden had anything to do with these charges. But anyway, wrapping this piece up, it says the highest ranking elected Republican in America, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, was among those who cast unifying behind Mr. Trump as beyond parochial political considerations. He said, I and every American who believes in the rule of law stand with President Trump. Well, good luck. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Plus, there are other indictments on the way. We've got 8:57 right now. Going to take a top of the hour break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, located at 520 State Street in Madison. Order online today at knuckleheads.shop. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving.